In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, we are joined by reoccurring guest host Hadrian to discuss the sounds of sex, from the gentle sounds of silence to the moaning and groaning, and on to the ass slapping. We talk about what we enjoy and don't about the oral side of sex. So be quiet and listen as COL 297 starts now.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast. Episode number 297. And apparently there's a delay before we actually go live after I hit start broadcast. So I apologize about that. I am talking in a certain way because of today's show. But first, I would like to introduce my very special co-host. Actually, my regular co-host. First off, we have Damon.
Hello, everyone. How are you today?
And hello, Gary.
I'm sorry. I can't do this. I don't know what the fuck. and the NPR voice shit. I am not going to talk about a fucking dusty muffin. I don't know what you two are up to.
And with us today is our very special, one of our favorite guests in all the world, Mr. Hadrian McQuaig. Hadrian, how are you doing?
Hello, and I'm Carl Castle for NPR.
who is the scorekeeper emeritus?
And to be fair, I don't know what Carl Castle looks like, but his voice is sexy.
He is attractive, from what I understand. They have actually no one in NPR is attractive. They have all their pictures on the website, and there's like, all the women are glamour shots, and all the guys are, like, caught between the bathroom and going home.
Oh, no.
Just those random, like, oh, hey, oh, hi.
Hi.
But yes, I'm Hadrian McQuaig. Nice to be here again.
Yay.
We're happy to have you back.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He's all wrapped up in his coat because it's 60 in Florida.
It's freezing here. It's 65 in Florida, 64 in Central Texas. So, yeah, for us, well, actually for the people who are natively from here, this is freezing.
Right.
I'm from Minnesota, so I'm just a little chilly, okay? Absolutely. And it was colder this morning. It just happens to have warmed up since then. And it's still a little chilly. That's why it's only like a sweatshirt. But I am wearing my Cubs Out Loud t-shirt here.
Yay!
Which is freshly laundered yesterday. Finally got to do laundry because I actually have some money.
Sweet. Yeah. So yay.
Great. So I think this is actually, before we actually get into our topic, let's go into some feedback. Unfortunately, I don't have a way of playing my soundboard through here, so feedback!
Dang it, Janet.
I tried my best. And where's my doc? There it is. And I would like to thank Lycan Cub 92 and Number Guy for joining us over on the Bear Underground. Gary, who came over on Facebook? Who's left us?
We have David Ray, Gerald Hoffman, God is in control, he will always provide for me, Joseph McGonigal, Josh Cohen, Josh Medina, Michelangelo LeBlanc, Peter Callahan, Ray Cabron, and Roy Younger.
By the way, God is in control and he will always provide for me are two separate people. It's not God is in control and he will always provide for me.
No, it is. In Facebook, God is in control is the first name. He will always provide for me is the second name.
Well, oh, really?
That's... Yes, it's a profile.
Well, I'm sorry. It's just showing on two separate lines here. Oh, there we go. I just need to expand the column.
Well, that's wonderful. Welcome.
It's an interesting name to to have, and I'm wondering if they're actually somebody who actually enjoys this show.
I don't know.
Which I was trying to find.
I feel that we're a little blessed. Now, to be honest, if Pope Francis decides to like us on Facebook, I think we should probably celebrate a little on that one.
Yeah, I would think that knowing what I've seen of Pope Francis or heard of Pope Francis, I've not seen.
Pope Francis, so...
Yeah. So where were we? We were somewhere. Lost Doc. Okay. Moving on. Oh, that's it. So let's get right into our topic. It's another one of those Let's Talk About Sex. So that's why people should be here on YouTube. If you're not on YouTube and just listening to us, as long as you're not, like, in the car driving or doing exercise, well, if you're doing exercise, it might work, pop over to youtube.com/cubsoutloud, and you can actually watch us and see our pretty faces.
And because it's YouTube, you know that it's at least PG rated. So
that's the downside to it.
I know. All these people are logging in. They're like, oh, I get to see Hadrian. And they're like one-handed typing. And then they're like, wait.
He's wearing a scarf. Way too much.
So today we're talking about Let's Talk About Sex. We're talking about the sounds of sex. Unfortunately, I didn't have any sounds with me, so I couldn't demonstrate the action. And again, that's PG. So,
yeah. To clarify, I don't want people to get confused. When we decided on this topic, what we mean is about the things you hear, not in reference to sounding rods.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was totally not prepared for this type of show. Yeah.
Because apparently some people did get a little confused when I was mentioning this randomly, and they were like, really? And I couldn't understand why they were so intrigued. And then it occurred to me that they thought that, you know, that would be a bit much to talk about people putting things inside of their parts.
Urethra?
So to speak. Yes.
Now here's the thing is, though, this is a topic that will probably come up in the future. In fact, I believe we have one of our good friends actually has some sounds. So you must know something about sounding. That is another show.
Yeah, I would say that's probably going to be a let's talk about kink topic, most likely.
I don't know.
What's that, Hadrian?
Kink?
Kink.
Kink.
Kink? I thought you said cake. I'm like, I'm all about this cake episode. Hold on.
That's not until April 1st.
Kink. K-I-N-K.
By the way, Adrian, thank you for giving me the idea for our April Fool's episode. So
there you go.
Let's talk about kink.
Okay, it's not going to be an April Fool's episode. If you talk about it now, they'll be expecting it.
We'll see.
Oh, okay. Well, you're expecting people to forget over the next couple of months.
Yes, exactly. Go on, move it on.
So, kinky sounds is what we're talking about.
Or just sounds in general.
Just sounds in general.
Yeah, just like, you know, you're going on and you've got the, you're going at it, and what the sound that, well, what are common sounds each of us make when we're being pleasured? We'll say it that way. So you're sitting back, relaxing, and either something is being done to you in the front or the back. What sounds do you typically make? I'm going to start off. I actually growl. I do.
So my question is, where does that come from? And by that I mean, is that an exhibited behavior that you learned from someone else that you saw maybe in a video, or it's more guttural and it just kind of naturally manifested?
I think it's a combination of my time as being a bear and thinking bears growl, and then it just kind of instinctively kind of came out. I don't think it was because I've seen anything in the video, in a video or anything. Plus, I like dogs too, which growl. So I don't know. I don't know where it came from.
Interesting. Where did Damon go?
His computer for us.
Yeah, he's having technical difficulties, so he's left the video for a moment, but hopefully he'll be rejoining us shortly. So I will own that actually I'm very quiet. I have been the focus of attention on this topic.
Why?
Because people that I have been with, men that I have been with, have noted that I'm very, very quiet. In fact, someone actually decided to discuss it with me, not to get into a deep psychological thing, but they wanted to understand why I was holding back. Because to them, they were like, you know, people make noise. You know, they really get into it. And I stay very quiet. And so they wanted to understand what that was about. And I said that I just have always tried to, I take on too much by thinking about other people that are around, and I don't want to be an annoyance to them because I've lived in various situations that there are people nearby me and I've had to hear them, and I don't want to hear them, so it's a courtesy thing. And not everyone agrees with it, as I've been told. yeah, I mean, it's like I lived on campus all 5 years that I went to college. I've had roommates. I've shared houses and apartments and things. So I just, even now, though I live by myself in a townhouse, I have a shared wall with my neighbor. And so it's just one of those things that I don't think my neighbor wants to hear me. So, you know.
Well, here's another thing is, can you really hear much coming from your neighbor?
Yes, sometimes.
So are you hearing the sounds of sex? Are you hearing thump, 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 thump?
I did once in the first year I moved in. So, and the thing is that the way the properties are lined up, the bedrooms are on the outside. It's because we're mirror images, so it's not like we're right butted up against each other like bookends. We're actually on the outsides. So the fact that I could hear means it was probably loud.
Well, yeah, but that sounds like they were probably being extremely loud. So
Maybe. I don't know. I never said anything. I didn't complain. I didn't, you know, bound on the wall or anything. Because I think I don't know my neighbor very well, but I would think that my neighbor would be embarrassed to know that I knew. So I don't even bring it up. I don't think it's appropriate. And it was, and like I said, it was once. It wasn't. If it was a every Saturday morning kind of a thing, then yeah. Like when I dated my ex Greg, his upstairs neighbors, his apartment was on the first floor, so his second floor neighbors, every single Sunday morning before church, like clockwork.
Oh, nice. Well, that's a great intro before church.
There was a rhythmic beat, so to speak, to the furniture and to her. So, yeah, it was one of those things. And the funny thing is, see, this will give you some big insight into me. Greg was like, the first time it happened, he was like, I'm so sick and tired of hearing them every Sunday morning, something like that. And he was like, I think we should try to outdo them. And I was like, what? I was like, no, time out. Like, that's not.
Veto.
He was kind of surprised. I wanted nothing to do with that because to me that's embarrassing. It's like it's bad enough that you know we can hear them and stuff. Like I don't see the point in trying to outperform them, so to speak. But I don't know. That's me. So. I'll talk more a little bit about this, but I don't want to take away too much time. Hadrian, what about you? What do you?
I grunt and I growl and I make other noises and I breathe heavy. I like the heavy breathing thing. I like the other sounds. I like the squishy sounds. I like the slapping sounds. I like all kinds. I like complete silence in the room so that I can hear everything. I don't know where I learned all of it from. I guess I haven't really thought about it before. I know I had a girlfriend in high school. She wanted to hear me breathing. She's like, let me hear you breathe and that kind of stuff. And put her ear up to my chest, and she would, you know, put her ear up to my mouth, and I'd breathe heavy, and, you know, she was necking on me and that kind of stuff. We would do that. She was really into that. So that was what kind of turned me on, that it's okay to not be completely silent, because I'm an only child. So when it was play with yourself time, I was definitely silent. I mean, I think that's how my mother knew I was masturbating, is that I was completely quiet. Because I thought I was serious. She's like, and she always looked at me and said, you feel better? I'm like, God damn it, mother. And of course, I always wanted to say to her, I'm like, well, we all can't be fucking screamers like some folks.
All right, so I have to ask the question, because Hadrian, I also am an only child, and I realize that you pinpoint that from my past, I was always, like, deathly quiet, you know. Well, a couple things, my mom worked third shift as an RN, so when you were up during the daylight, you were always just naturally quiet because she was trying to sleep. But that, you know, so I think that these are pieces that add to the puzzle of why I am. But so are you just stating basically that you your mother was quite loud?
She was, yeah. She was a screamer.
Okay, so my mother, Mom, don't watch this video. She's on the internet, and she knows I do the podcast, but she doesn't know the name of it. And she, anyways, she, at one time when I was a child, and my father were having fun. I did not know that because I was too young to understand such concepts. But I had gotten out of bed, and I walked down the hallway to the bedroom door, which was closed. And the problem was, because I didn't know what was happening, I actually thought my father was beating my mother up. Like, I thought he was abusing her, because my mother can be loud, but she also tends to whimper. So she sounds like she's crying. So that was very confusing to me as a young child. I never figured it out until I was in college. For some reason, something happened in my life that memory came back to me, and then I put it all together and realized what actually was going on at that time, in that moment. And I'm rather glad that I did not interrupt. or do anything. So, yeah. Now, I will say this, to continue on to the earlier part of what I was saying about being quiet. A couple years ago was, all right, I'll just own it, was at a campground and was with some gentlemen who I thought were together as a couple. Come to find out they were not, they're just friends. And they both mutually were interested in me. And so we had fun together. And we were in a tent, and this is one of those instances where they kind of made a comment about that I was really quiet. And I said, you know, that I didn't want to, you know, disrupt and be a disturbance to people that were around, you know. Because we're not in the middle of no man's land. I mean, it's a gay campground, so there's people tenting, you know, nearby and camping. And
in so many different ways.
Yeah. So, consequently, things got pretty heated, and it had been very quiet. So, and it was the middle of the day, so I was under the impression that most people were probably not at their campsites. So consequently, I did not hold back. when I had my orgasm, it was very loud, and they both got these looks of shock on their face. Like, oh, wow, that just happened.
What was this? So what did this sound like?
I am not, no. This is not a when Harry met Sally moment. I am not doing that.
Oh, come on. We're talking about the sounds of sex. You're going to have to demonstrate. I mean, I growled.
No, I won't. That was your choice. Just because you do it doesn't mean I have to do it. I am old enough to know better. Just because someone jumps off the dock at the pier doesn't mean I have to go do it too. Anyway,
I'm not asking you. are you like my brother and you didn't know about the dock?
No, it's a reference culturally to Erie. We have a dock or a pier. It's what parents used to say to their kids all the time. Oh, if your friends jump off the dock, are you going to do it too? So. Anyways, my point is that I was very loud, and I thought it had been quiet before, and then after I did that, it was deathly quiet in the campground. And I don't know if I'm turning four shades of red right now, but I know I definitely was beyond embarrassed. And it was quite funny because these two guys that were friends, they were like, that was hot, that was awesome. And, you know, I was so embarrassed. Like, I couldn't, I just wanted to die. I wanted to crawl in a hole.
You really wanted me to make sound. I did.
Yeah.
But you admitted something here. You admitted that you consciously hold back.
Oh yeah, because I'm trying to be. I'm highly analytical and aware, and so I pay attention to a lot of details. So if I'm in a location where I think there might be other people around, then yeah, I'm gonna be quiet. Like, I don't think the point is to put on a show. I'm not that type of person.
Well, what about that area between being quiet and putting on a show, in that I'm getting my jollies and I am expressing that? So I think that's where you were.
I think because I had always held back, there was no restraint.
Okay.
In that instance that I just gave, that experience. So because there was no restraint, there was not an understanding from my perspective as to the volume or decibels. So yeah, I don't know. I just. It's something I might work through eventually at some point. I don't know. We'll see. This is when people ask me why I'm single, I'm like, because there's crazy shit like this in my head. Like, you know, I need a partner who's going to be patient and be willing to talk and help me deal with some of this stuff. I don't see it as a critical issue, but I know that, you know, it's come up a couple of times with past boyfriends, and they're like, you know, it's not that the reason they don't want to date anymore is because I won't be verbal or whatever. They just – it's a quirk. Okay. So, I already know, Hadrian, I already know this about you and I. You were kind of polar opposites on this. You have done things, you've been an exhibitionist in that you've done film, and so you have no problem being on camera, quote unquote, and part of that is being an entertainer and being verbal and all that, and I am the exact opposite. Like, no, I don't want to be on film, and no, I don't want to be, you know, making noise and stuff like that.
So. I think at some point I had to, I was very quiet up for several years after I came out and everything. But I eventually had to accept that I'm an adult, and this is an adult world, and I am going to express myself at least a reasonable amount that I need to. And being a little bit loud that my neighbors might hear, they'll get over it. I get to hear them every now and then too, kind of thing. I guess that's where I kind of eventually had this dividing line of, you know, I'm just going to do this, you know. I listen to my mother getting her jollies off all the time growing up. I mean, Damon, you weren't here for that. I'm sorry you have to hear this
now.
Oh,
good God.
But my mother was a screamer. I mean, I listened to her go, left, oh, yeah, right, oh, yeah. I listened to that growing up. I heard her. I heard the... from the shower.
Oh, God.
And my mother obviously didn't care. She's like, he's a kid. He's got to learn about it sooner or later.
Well, as long as I'm not doing it, a great thing to enter it on. Wow.
So,
I brought the show to a stop. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I think you're fine. Yeah.
David, we were discussing the first thing of the topic we were discussing is what we know about ourselves. So as an example, Jeff was explaining that he knows that he growls. I was discussing that I'm rather incredibly quiet and reserved. Mm-hmm. So that's where we were kind of at, and Hadrian.
I run the whole game. I can go from super quiet, as if you're jerking off in a bathroom at a mall, all the way up to, you know, especially nowadays, since I've been on testosterone shots, my orgasms have been multiples, and it's very overwhelming, and I yell out unconsciously. I just got to call out. I got to let it out.
Huh.
So, what about you, Damon?
Wow. I've got to think about it for a second. I am not particularly verbal, as in I don't want to hear words, and I don't actually speak much when I'm in the throes of passion and whatnot. I'm usually not very loud until I am close to climaxing and then climaxing. like you don't hear, you will know when I am coming before I come. I am verbal, I am loud, I move, things shake, and then there is usually an audible, depending on the situation. Now, I grew up in a very reserved home, so that, you know, sex wasn't really talked about, period. So the idea of doing anything sexual, not so much. So jerking off, like in the bathroom or masturbating, was a muffled affair. You were not meant to be loud. So that's kind of stayed with me as I've grown up, to where I don't make a lot of noise when I'm having sex, and I feel weird making noise. Even now, even when it's, like you said, like when it's subconscious or unconsciously that I'm doing it, as soon as I hear it, I go, oh shit. And like, okay, yeah. Right. And look around and go, who heard that or anything? Or, oh God. I don't apologize to my partners, but I do kind of go, like, I will get loud and then I will quiet down. They're like, oh, I'm sorry, and sort of humble myself for a moment afterwards, just to get everything centered.
Right.
Yeah. I think I'm in the middle of the road in some ways.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So you bring up an interesting point that I'm curious about. It was another part of the topic I wanted to discuss. Dirty talk. As in, you know, using words to be arousing while you're with somebody. And I don't see this much posted anymore. It used to be, I want to say maybe in 5 years or more ago, I think it was more popular that guys would say, are you into dirty talk? Or on the phone or that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I don't see it posted as much anymore in, like, profiles, say, on Growler or on websites or whatever. So I don't know if it's really quite a component, but I was never really a fan of it. Like, and I have a psychological, like, kind of click about, I don't care for someone talking to me in a certain tone of voice, and acting like dominant and forcing me to be submissive. It's just a thing I know that's particular to me. So like I'll give you guys an example. Years ago, I used to very much go to the adult bookstores, and so there was this one time I was. What's so funny?
Gary or Hadrian just did two thumbs up.
Yeah, Hadrian and I share that. So only children went to adult bookstores. Yeah. Anyways, so while I was there, there was this guy, you know, and so basically at the adult bookstore, there's a glory hole in between two booths. Anyways, I'm having fun, pleasuring him, and he suddenly goes into this whole thing about, you know, talking about that, you know, I'm a dirty cocksucker and filthy whore, and right, it goes through this whole thing, and like, I was just like, and it's funny because it was a battle in my brain, because a part of me is like, you know, I really like what I'm doing, but right now I'm really getting pissed off.
Yeah.
But there's a part of me that just like wants to like, you know, back up off of it and be like, you know what? Shut it. If you want to get off, be quiet. Otherwise, it's not happening. So it's just that, I just kind of know that about me. Now, I'm not to say that I'm going to be like this forever. I think my own personal disclaimer is, all of this can probably change with time. Like, I just recently made the comment, you know, that if I have a partner and I feel more comfortable and I kind of work through these things, then yeah, I could see, you know, being okay with this. But right now, not so much. So dirty talk is not really a thing for me. It doesn't turn me on or anything. What about you guys?
Well, I'll go first. No. Just
no.
I hate like too much talking or too much, especially dirty talk. And I'm not a fan of phone sex. I used to be okay with it, but after a while, it just sort of became this, I think too much. And in my head, I'm going, I don't really want to think about this too much. I just want to do it. And this talking and whatnot doesn't really work for me. There are certain situations, given my leather background, where there is in the role and in the scene that it will be appropriate. But just straight on getting it on with somebody, not so much. I was going to say, I'm not the biggest fan of the sound of my own voice. so I don't think... And other people's voices sometimes irk me, and I can hear pretty well, but I have difficulties understanding things. So sometimes when some people are talking, I don't understand what they're saying, and I have to either have them repeat or I just assume what they're saying. And in a situation, in a sexual situation, I do not want to be trying to interpret what you're saying, going, excuse me, what did you say? Or what was that? Or can you repeat that, please? I just, that sort of...
Focus on what you're doing.
Yeah, like focus on what you're doing, and I can focus on what I'm doing, and we'll get each other off, and it'll be great. Now, directions are okay.
That's not really dirty talk at all.
Yeah. Some directions can be. And in, like I said, in certain situations, I could be okay with it. If I'm in a very subby mood and I get in that zone and someone is talking down to me, yeah, go for it. But don't do too much, because then I have to focus on what you're saying, and I can't focus on what I'm doing, and it shifts my focus. I can't do more than one thing at once. We've determined that on this podcast.
So,
I can kind of hear and focus on what I'm doing, or I can totally listen to you, and you get a lame-ass blowjob or whatever I'm doing. So,
yeah. What about you, Jeff?
I have mixed feelings on dirty talk. Like, if you think of it in some senses, a lot of dirty talk are something that you would be using for phone sex or something. And that type of thing, one, I'm just not creative enough or something, but I can't really think of it. So it never really seems to come up for me of what would, you know, like what I would be saying or something to be dirty. There's the occasional things that may like just kind of pop up. I don't know. It's just not a thing for me, I suppose. But sometimes when somebody else is doing it, it's kind of hot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I suppose I'm really bad at talking about that type of thing.
I feel you.
What about you, Adrian? What's your thoughts on dirty talk?
I'm a dirty talker. I'll tell you what to do. Give me those big legs. You know, get your butt in the air. Get down there and suck my cock, boy. I'll be down there sucking dick. I'll be like, am I doing it right, Daddy? And that kind of stuff.
I'm
all the way into role play, all the way back into just commands. The grunting and growling. Something about me whenever I'm dirty talking is that when I'm getting sexual with somebody, my voice changes a little bit. I consciously repress my southern accent. I have one that's just very mild. But whenever I'm in a sexual situation and, you know, growling stuff into someone's ear, that kind of stuff, it tends to come to the surface, and it's the thick one. It's the thick Columbus, Georgia backwoods accent that tends to come forward.
Interesting.
So I just kind of let go of all the I have to let go of all the mental inhibitions in order to enjoy sex, because I have done so much in my life to repress the fact that I am white trash, and it in some points of my life it has interfered with me sexually, because a lot of my earlier sexual experiences were a result of, you know, growing up in backwoods and, you know, living in trailers and that kind of stuff. And I was exposed to these situations that allowed for a much earlier sexual education than may have been allowed. But whenever when I'm getting sexual, I just kind of have to mentally go through my mind and say, okay, turn off work. It's like a checkbox, you know, an option in my head. I'm like, okay, turn off work mode, turn off professional mode, turn off relationship mode, turn off this mode, and I'm like turning off all these barriers I've put in place to repress that, you know, dirty redneck hick that I am, and I can come out and go, okay, let's have some sex, and I can get a little more into it. And I can't always do that. Sometimes I can't turn it off, or I can't, you know, get myself in the right mental mode. I can still get off, but I don't go all the way like I would. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, it's like a 5. Really, really turned on. My accent comes out. I get a deep, my voice gets deeper. I get more growly. And I get into all these little fantasies that I've got where I'm like, okay, you're younger than me. You're the little brother, and I'm the big brother, and I'm raping your ass right now.
Huh.
Or you're 20 years older than me. You're daddy right now, and I'm the good boy. Or any other number of things that I have in my head. So,
well, you're bringing up,
and there's sometimes I don't care. I'm pulling you into my thing. I don't know if you're into this stuff, and I don't care. If I just met you in a bathroom, you better not care because you're daddy now. I've made men come in 15 seconds by calling him daddy and then going down on him.
Mm.
So you bring up an interesting point about verbal role play. It sounds like it takes place for you, whether you have that discussion with the person you're with or not ahead of time.
Yeah, I tend to muffle it if I think it's going to scare somebody off and they're a little skittish.
Yeah.
But I don't give a fuck. You're coming with me. This is about my dick now.
Sometimes you do have to take someone on that journey.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes you're a little scared.
Yeah. Yeah, because some people are so regimented into what they will and won't do, and that pisses me off so bad. And I'm like, no, let's break down your walls, and you're coming over here, and let's see if you can discover something new along the way.
Mm.
I've never had someone just get off just to get me to shut up. That's never happened.
Oh, God, shut up. Here I'm coming. Fuck.
I've had some people say to me, hey, I don't know where you're going, but maybe, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. I can tone it down some, but you're still going through this door.
We will get you there eventually.
I rarely ever called someone. I never really, like you were discussing being at a glory hole and sucking somebody off, and they're like, yeah, fucking cocksucker. I interpret that as them taking me along with their fantasy, not them actually having animosity towards me as being the dick sucker.
Mm.
So I don't think I've ever encountered someone that was really that vicious in, you know, like that you know,
mm-hmm.
once I've come in your mouth, I'm going to kick your ass kind of way. I've never encountered that, I don't think, at least not to my knowledge. That would be kind of scary if I, you know, walked out of that kind of situation and didn't know it. But I've had people take me on that kind of journey with them where they're like, yes, you know, suck my dick, cocksucker, you little, I don't think I could deal with being called a pussy boy or some. There's some words that are off.
Yeah. Yeah.
I gotta have to agree with that.
Yeah, there are a lot of terms that I can't go anywhere with. I can't work with those. That's why I try to tend to safer terms. And I'll be honest, as often as I've taken people on the incest dirty talk roller coaster that I tend to take folks on, and no one's ever rejected it, that says something about the statement. People are reading things than they care to admit to.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other terms that I can't get on board with, and those are very rarely happen. I'm like, you need to
such as that. Like boy pussy.
Boy pussy. I don't know. I had one guy try to call me his little girl. I'm like, no, we're not good.
Oh, yeah.
Gender role play. I don't know if I can. I can't deal with that.
Yeah.
What do you think about, since we're talking about terms? I know that some words are pretty volatile. I guess I get the impression it's very black and white for people. Like if someone was to walk up to Hadrian and be like, you know what, I want you to fuck my boy pussy or my, you know, my man pussy or whatever. those are ones where you're like, no.
Okay. Oh God. Okay. I hate falling in the middle of shit, but this is the way it is right now. there are certain times where you, when you're fit, like some people feminize those words, those man parts. No, don't even. Don't go there. No, thank you. No. There are others, and it all depends on the delivery of how they are saying it, the way that they say it, the voice, the tone that changes it for me in my head. Like, Hadrian, if you did that country accent and you said that boy pussy, yes. Like, okay, yes, sir, kind of thing. If it got the deep enough voice, the way that it worked, it's so opposite that it works. I don't know if that makes sense, but it just, the deeper, more masculine, more like just super like uber masculine voice saying something like that to me, it would tip the scale, and I'd be like, okay, sure, you know, whatever.
It's one of those kind of subspace thing, because they're doing the humiliation and calling you something that you're actually not, sort of something like that, that it kind of gets you into that headspace, which makes it an enjoyable experience.
Yeah.
Versus someone like me who just doesn't really get into that type of subspace, that would be like, you girl, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, things happen to work. Like, I can't deal with some 23-year-old coming up to me and saying, yeah, I'm a daddy, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, I'm 35. No, it's not going to work. But if you're that exact same person with that exact same personality at 40, and I'm like, okay, I can deal with this. But this is the line a little bit along a lot of things. You know, voice, good looks, how much I want you, how big the dick is, what kind of sexual position, the location we're in, how I feel that day, what time of year it is, what do you smell like, what music is playing. You know, all kinds of stars can align to create a different configuration that eventually makes being called, hey, put on these panties and let me fuck you. I'm like, yes, daddy, let's go. I understand. There's a configuration that works for almost any situation, but some things are rarer than others.
Yeah. Yes, there are some words that no matter what situation we were in, if they were said to me, no, done, get out.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So I think what we're saying is it's circumstantial. It's really about place, time, and the moment that you're having. Mm-hmm. And there may be rare moments where words that normally would turn you off are okay or turn you on, and then, but the majority of the time you're like, hell no, not happening. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, for instance, if someone decided to suddenly bring verbal race play into the scene.
Oh, hell no.
Right, and that's not expected. You're not expecting someone, you know, to go there or talk about you being a bitch slave boy or whatever it is. So I could definitely see that people would be like, nope, time out. Like, and I've known people who are very strongly opinionated and are like, and we're done. Nope. Bye, Felicia. Gotta go. Like, ain't happening no more. Zip up. You got. You Bye. Know.
You're done.
You know, no moist towelette for you.
Get out.
That's interesting. So earlier, Hadrian, you made a comment about silence, and this is something I'm curious about: how everybody feels about music. Obviously, not all the time. I'll start. There are times I will hear a song and I'll be like, and of course I never do it, but I think to myself, oh man, like I should really write these down or put them someplace so I can create a playlist, because there are some songs that I think are completely all about fucking. And they are just the, like, they would be perfect in the background. There's something about the beat, about the bass, maybe the words, whatever it is that you're just like, yeah, and I'm not necessarily talking about Barry White's, you know, let's get it on. Like, it's not quite that, but that might be an example. What do you guys think about music, per se?
Yeah, it can really hit the mood.
Yeah.
Like, some sort of fast beat or something can be, like, really getting to it, because it's giving you a lot of energy to get going and get pounding. Or just something that's somewhat romantic, and you get into the more sensual part of sex or something like that.
Fuck. I agree that there is some music that can help and drive situations. Me being a music-oriented person, I can't have a lot of music playing. Like, especially like in a porn. Even the music in porn, my mind immediately listens to the music. And that's the worst part for me. Because I hear the music, and that's what I hear, and that's all I hear. I don't really hear the people going at it or anything like that. And especially if the music is drowning out the sounds of the people, yeah, that's nothing for me. But I don't play with them much anymore, a playmate who would come over, and we would have to turn on music because he wanted music playing. It worked for me, only because he was hot and I could semi drown out the music, but any other time, no. Even Jim and I used to listen to, because I had neighbors and I was a little concerned about the sound levels. We would play music to cover the sounds of us our love making. And even then, it would be a bit of a distraction. Not so much, but just enough of a distraction to delay things, I guess is the better way to put it. Yeah.
You have to focus harder to get the music out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gary. Well, here's a question. Is this more because of... is this more because of how you, like, is it because of, like, vocals or anything when you're listening to music, or would instrumental work just fine?
It's all of the above. I love music, and music is a big part of my life, and as such, I'm listening to music constantly in my head. So if I can drown, like, if I'm doing sex, no problem. I can drown, I can turn that down. But if there's music playing, I will hear the music, and that'll go, oh, here's music. Let me hear music, and this is music, and okay. But, oh, I'm doing this other thing. Let me try to get back to that. Yeah. Any kind of music, honestly. Instrumental. Vocals, it'd have to be... Well, like a Barry White, like a Marvin Gaye, it would have to be a very deeper sort of voice to where it's sort of a bassy kind of mellow level, but no, like, pop. Definitely no pop. Where I have to, because I will want to listen and try to hear the words and try to understand what's being said, and that distracts. Gary, what are you like? Your face is...
What? Yeah. I'm thinking, honestly, David, I'm thinking, you know, I feel bad for you because I'm like, wow, that's so challenging to, like, want to have sex to avoid the music because your brain wants to process it. And I'm like, oh, no Britney Spears, no Lady Gaga, no, you know, Ariana Grande. Like, I mean, just, like, cross everything off the list. You know, like, if you can get the bass from the Oak Ridge Boys, maybe, but, you know.
Well, it would also depend on where the music is. Like, I have been, okay, I have had sex in bars, clearly. Clearly. And it's been loud. And it's been loud. And it's that, sometimes it's the techno, sometimes it's, you know, just, you know, like, what we've got on the radio kind of sound. And... That is, I don't know, for some reason that's enough for me to be like, I can hear it, but I can't hear it, because it's constant, you know, it's going to be constant, and no matter what, I'm okay with that. But to put on an album or put on a track to make love to,
okay.
Maybe not for me.
I see what you say. So, and I think that makes sense. Like, if it's part of the natural din, the background of the environment that you're in, That's one thing versus, you know, I want something romantic or, you know, I want, you know, mad humping, you know, beats or whatever.
And some beats work because you can set yourself to the rhythm and it can be nice depending on what the rhythm is.
Right. Adrian, what do you think about music?
No.
Oh.
I don't like music during sex. I don't want to. I don't know why. I my first ever boyfriend. When I hear music, I can listen to a song and recall every time. Not every time, but of course, I have this recollection of the situations that happened to that song. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like my first album was Alanis' Jagged Little Pill, not the sexiest album in the world. And my girlfriends that I had at the time, we never did anything to that album because it just didn't. It's not a sexy album, and there were a lot of sexy albums to me. I don't know what it was. The Dirty Hippie Girl with the guitar of the late 90s doesn't exactly exemplify sex, I think. Even Sarah McLachlan, it just doesn't work. I think the closest thing I ever had to a sexy album would probably be something along the lines of Janet's If and Janet Velvet Rope.
Yeah.
There's some really good ones of Velvet Rope. And I did have a girlfriend who liked to play some songs from that, but I had a problem connecting with those because I was disconnecting from women at the time a little bit.
But right.
Those were, to me, those were Janet's sexual experiences. She was putting on a display for other people to see. And those were very personal experiences for her for some reason, because I kind of studied the album and I really was a fan of it. But I had a hard time fitting her experiences into mine. Therefore, I had a disconnect sexually. And I couldn't even see me using it even like as a rhythm to fuck with. It just didn't work for me. So, to me, music is more of a distraction. I can see the sexual aspect of it, and I can see listening to music as foreplay, like going out on a date and listening to some Patti LaBelle, or listening to Janet, or listening to, you know, Michael Bublé. Those can help get me in the mood, but when it comes time to start pulling down the pants, the music needs to stop, because it's distractions, too much of a worry. I will listen to the lyrics and start analyzing things. It's just the way I start doing it in my mind. But I like silence. Maybe a fan going on in the corner to provide a hum. But I like to hear everything else that's going on. I want to hear you breathing. I want to hear the squishy sounds. I want to hear the sound of your tongue running across my nipple. I don't know. Even a friend of mine even turned me on to something I never thought of before.
There's a sound of somebody running their tongue over your nipple?
Yes, I have a very small nipple. No. No, what is the sound to it? There's a
lick.
There's a slight rub to it, and it's not something you hear, something you feel, and it may be my body turning things I'm feeling into things I'm hearing just as a psychosomatic thing.
Mm-hmm.
But a friend of mine turned me on to something years ago that I'm now kind of into, and that's he liked the sound a penis makes when it ejaculates. And there's a very slight squirt that comes out of the penis when it ejaculates. You did the first shot, and that turned him on so fucking much he'd come from it.
Huh.
So even that now is part of the repertoire of things I listen for during sex and I'm paying attention to. And the worst thing in the world for me and Bailey when we're playing around is my fucking cat to suddenly go, meow. That's
Really? Yeah.
Then I throw a pillow at her.
So.
Try to get back into it.
Now I kind of have a goal where I need to make sure my ear is close to my partner's cock, so I can hear that squirt sound.
You don't have to be that close. You don't have to be that close. You really don't. You can be standing up and you're like, okay, there it is.
Okay, so it's like, okay, be very, very quiet, because I want to hear this. Because, I don't know, with me, when I'm having sex with someone, I'm going to be, like, when I'm coming, I'm going,
yes, and I will admit, the only times I've ever actually gotten to hear it was in very quiet situations, like places you're not supposed to be playing.
Like a public.
Which is the reason why I have to go, shh. Because unlike you, Mr. McQuaig,
I'm in places where
we can be played here.
What now, Adrian?
Oh, there are sometimes you can even hear it when they're yelling and screaming. You're like jerking them off or whatever, and you hear it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, even Bailey, he shoots kind of hard, and he shoots a lot of it. So when I'm sucking on him and he unloads my mouth, I can feel it and hear it a little bit.
Huh.
Because there's always a little bit of air, and of course, with spit mixed in, there's bubbles and other kind of stuff, so there's a fluid movement.
Hmm.
I don't know. I think I still have a problem trying to hear that.
Well, now you have a new goal.
It does exist.
We have a goal.
I've already said this. I have this goal now, is to be like, shh.
Or just jerk off and listen to yourself. Listen to your own dick.
Yeah. True. It's possible.
I can try, but usually there's some sort of porn video playing in my ears.
That's why you...
And let's talk about that for a second. We've gone to porn music. Awful. On porn sets, there is no music. There is silence. There really is. There's quiet, and there's the movement, and there's all these other sounds going on, but for the most part, the director's like, okay, suck his dick down.
Okay, put him over his nose. Well,
that's what you have Carl Hassel NPR in your ear. Like,
by the way, I can tell him. That's true. That's very true. Again, yeah. I have been in a porn. So I know there's no porn music.
Nope.
Okay, so here's my question. So behind the camera lens, like the inside the actor studio type thing, for when it comes to making adult film, do you think that's why there's music in the background, though, to cover up the director giving you cues and notes?
We edit the director out completely. Like, he's much closer to the microphone than we are, and when he says something, the microphone definitely hears it. They typically edit all that out. They just use ambience noise over it. But no, they do put music in because just sitting there watching the silence, because every little sound, a bug could scurry across the floor. Hopefully there are none. But that kind of sound comes through. Bears of Venice, we were in Venice, California, and the windows were open to an alley.
Oh.
Anybody walking by could have heard. But all the other sounds of Venice, California were coming in too. A dog barking a block away. There was a child daycare like across the street on the opposite side of the house, not from where we were. But you can hear them like screaming, yelling, and any child, because I don't know what it is about children, but when they're on the playground, they like run around just screaming at the top of their lungs.
Yeah.
But the music cuts that out. They typically, I've seen like Corbin Fisher, they would blank the whole scene out and put the music in, put an ambient sound in, and then edit the sounds back in, not editing things out. It's done the opposite.
Huh.
So you put, when somebody's like, over, let me fuck you. They put that in. And even in older porns, they would like do voiceover work afterwards.
Yeah.
That was pretty obvious.
Which sometimes was hysterical because you're like, that doesn't match the lip movement.
Or what was really bad was the 80s porn and the late 70s porn was really egregious about this. They had like artists come in and make music for them. Like, full-blown bands coming in trying to make their start doing music, and the music ends up in porn. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you got no career out of this. There was no... Nobody came up to your concert and says, oh yeah, I came and saw the concert. I heard your music in, I don't know, Big Butts 12 or something like that. No, nobody did that.
That's too mm-hmm. funny. So music is a kind of a touchy thing, and for Hadrian, he's like, no. Just
now.
I mean, I've been in public situations or even someone's house where they happen to be playing something, and it does take, it's that extra mental power to block it out or accept it as ambient sound. But I do tend to remember those things. Like, I remember the first time I ever went to a glory hole, the song that was playing was that damn OMD song, How Bizarre. I remember that song in glorious detail because I was the first time sucking a man off in a glory hole. But his name was Oid Rich. I remember his name even.
Huh.
Yeah, I remember the song was How Bizarre, How Bizarre. And like, shades,
and a 769. How bizarre you're in here sucking another guy's dick.
Well, that's interesting because that's something I wanted to touch on next was about the sounds during sex. Not quite specifically the music that plays in the background and its meaning by lyrics, but are there sounds made during sex that we think are sexy or, like, you don't want to hear?
Hmm. I was so about to go there. Oh, my God.
That's okay, so so let's have that discussion, because I think whether anybody wants to really face the facts or not, I think Hadrian will back me up, air gets inside the body, and it has to come out.
This is true.
So guess what, kids? We're just going to lay it down for you. You're going to pass gas. It may not be methane, but you're going to move some air back out of the body that somehow got in there.
Yeah. It is, you know, if you're going to play in the mud hole, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. There are things that happen, and they're susceptible, but it's still a distraction.
Yeah.
We're all trained from a young age that stuff is funny.
Yeah.
So there's this number you're like, put it in. You get back in anyway, so you gotta pause for that second and then keep going.
Yeah.
Now, see, some guys have told me that they not this example specifically, but that humor is an expectation during sex. Like, if you can't have fun and you can't laugh during sex, for some people that's a no-go. Like, they're like,
No, I'm sorry. Sex, laughing during sex can ruin the entire mood. And especially if somebody gets the giggles. Because if somebody gets the giggles, they're going to be stuck like that. And trust me, I've had this. I had this big old gorgeous guy sucking my cock. And for some strange reason, I just broke out into the giggles. And it took me about a half an hour to even recover from that. In the meantime, a penis has gone down, the mood has changed, and everything like that. Laughing during sex, sure, maybe the occasional laugh because, you know,
pooed it, yeah.
You know, that sort of thing happening, sure. But be careful not to make something like somebody break down laughing hard because it can ruin the entire mood.
I agree and disagree.
Well, then there's also tickling, but that's another.
Yeah.
That's another show.
That's another show. That's a Let's Talk About Kink show. That's a, yeah. But, I appreciate someone who doesn't take it too seriously. And in my mind, a little bit of humor is to them not taking it as like super seriously, like thinking too much into it, grinding, you know, overthinking everything, because I've had people that overthink everything. So a little humor during sex goes a long way. Like a little laugh, a little chuckle, a smile, a, you know, some sort of way that you know that they're enjoying themselves and enjoying the moment and enjoying what you're doing. And maybe it's, you know, something does happen that's a little funny. But if you're so in that zone that you don't even recognize that, yeah.
I think there's an appropriate level to humor
right
when it comes to sex. I will give an example of how it was technically immediately right after. I was with somebody and they, you know, were getting ready to have an orgasm. And so, you know, we know the moment's coming, no pun intended. And so he, you know, he shoots. However, he doesn't realize, because he's reared his head back, he's not looking at me, that when he shoots and it ends up going all over my face, that he basically coats my eye.
Oh.
Now, luckily, I have the reflexes of a cheetah, apparently, and so I closed my eyelid, and I didn't get any in it, although I didn't know that quite at that moment. Like, it was this instinctual, like, my eye closed. So, I know it does, but in this instance, I didn't have that experience. But here's the part of it that's funny is I waited, like, probably 7 seconds, which seemed like an eternity, for him to like come down off of like the high, you know, the hormonal, energy high of ejaculating, waiting for him to look at my face, because I was like, because I wasn't mad, but I was in this like playfully livid moment where I wanted him to see what he did. And so he finally looks at me and then just busts a gut and like and was embarrassed, and he immediately was like, "I am so sorry." Like, I was a glazed donut, and it was just a direct shot right over my eye. And,
awesome.
Yeah, it was just like, and then it was, you know, and then it turned into care and concern, like, you know, it's like, "Are you all right?" And I was like, "Let me go get a washcloth. Let me go to the bathroom. Let me see." But that was probably one of the funniest moments that I recall. Like, it was completely unexpected, and it happened instantly right afterwards. But yeah. I think there's a time and a place. I agree. I think I used to be one of those people that would be worried about humor being misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's more about whether or not you know the person you're with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so by that I mean, like, if I was to be with someone that I've talked to before, been with before, it's a totally different thing than if it's a complete NSA.
Yeah.
You know, it's a stranger, I don't know them at all, then yeah, humor may not necessarily enter into the equation because they don't understand. They don't know. Mm-hmm. They may not find the poot funny. You know, or you giggling because you were accidentally tickled when they brushed their hand down your side, or mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Type of a thing. So yeah, the humor thing is interesting. In terms of like the sounds of sex, are there things that turn us on? Like, you hear it, whether it be like in a, let's say you're watching something on XTube or webcam or whatever, like the moment you kind of start hearing certain things that like really kind of trip your trigger?
I can't really think of anything.
I enjoy, like, there are two sounds that for whatever reason kind of trip the trigger. One is like a low grunting, and it's just enough to where you just that, not that they're enjoying, like someone is either getting sucked off or getting fucked, and they are making that grunting sound, and they enjoy that there because they are enjoying what the fuck is going on, like that mm-hmm. that just that low sort of grunt that just or growl that just sort of comes primal. It's very like it's just sort of comes out. I enjoy that sound. That's one thing that will instantly not only get my attention, but it'll perk me up a little bit. The other, which seems weird, is the smacking of bodies connecting, especially in a fuck, like that. That just sort of, and depending on the pace, that just it's just the way, because I know that there's some body hitting. This is not just a typical slow fuck. This is a we are going at it, let's get going kind of thing.
Right. I agree with you completely, Damon. That second one is one I know for me, like if I'm watching a video and you get to that like ass slapping, ball slapping, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. Skin on skin, like rhythmic contact, I know that I'm kind of like, all right, like there's... It gets the attention and definitely gets things going. And of course, in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, let's please have rhythm. just a little is all I'm asking for. I just if it's erratic, it's like what? So
how was it? Well, it depends. It's to me, as long as it's happening, and it's I like it when it's like a little bit faster. But if it's if it's broken, like for some reason things aren't connecting, that's where I kind of get that. That's one of my thing, like, oh, they're not really connecting because it's not the sound is disconnecting.
Mm-hmm. Right. What about you, Hadrian? Any sounds in particular that trip your trigger?
Not that I can think of. There is the sound of, and I've heard it in public, and I've heard it at work even, in my current job, is that I hear that sound of, you hear that? That slight rubbing that you know somebody's jerking off. You know they are. And because there's a scratch, and you're done, and then there's like, you've been going for 2.5 minutes.
Oh.
So I've heard it in situations where, especially in the Marine Corps, it's just, you know, there's no privacy, so people got to do the deal. But, yeah, you know that sound, they think they're being so fucking quiet. And they're not. And I remember, actually, there was this one guy in the Marine Corps, in boot camp even. This man was ugly. I mean, he had the big nose and the weird shaped chin and the messed up lips and the pimple scars and everything. But that man had 13 inches of prime A meat. And that man jerked off. And you can not only hear the rubbing, you can hear the noise of his foreskin pulling back and forth. And I'm like, this is the hottest thing ever. I'm like 19 years old in boot camp. I'm like, this is the hottest fucking thing I've ever heard.
Huh.
And it turned me on. And I think that actually that moment is where it kind of stuck with me to listen for that kind of stuff when I was in the bathroom. And I've heard it a few times since. It's a signal that there is a cruisy bathroom. Like if you go into a bathroom and you hear that sound, you're like, okay, this is cruisy. There's a possibility this is cruisy, especially if you hear 3 or 4 of them. Kind of ringing the bells there.
You're like, you hear that and you're like, I'm getting laid.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the chimes go off, da 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 ding, and you're like, oh, and
so as you're walking in the door, and you get this like a slot machine sound.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sound, you hear another sound. Ding. Jackpot.
Yeah, I learned to listen to that. That turns me on. That gets me going because cruising situations turn me on. Also, videos. If I hear, I hate videos that use music or do anything or have a TV playing in the background. I do not want to hear fucking, you know, ABC News in the background while you're beating on
your
couch.
All right. So, Hadrian, I have the worst story of a boner killer dealing with the television being on. And I will tell the story because it's, to me, it's funny now. In the moment, though, it was not. So I go to the bar. I see this guy. He's kind of handsome. You know, he's probably about 10 years older than me. He's rocking the really thick mustache, kind of like that 70s porn Magnum PI kind of look.
Mm-hmm.
Has a little bit of a belly, but, you know, he's, you know, kind of attractive and stuff. And so we get to talk to each other. I find out, you know, that he considers himself bi. I'm like, hey, whatever, you know, like I'm not going to judge. We go back to his house. So we go down into the basement. It's a finished basement. It's like a rec room. And we're, you know, we're sitting on the couch. We were watching TV. I don't know why. And so, of course, the TV was left on. And so we, you know, get busy. And we move from the couch to the floor. There's more space. Well, he gets off, you know, and it's one of those reciprocal, now it's my turn, and the whole thing comes to a grinding halt for me. Why? Because at that moment, now mind you, we stayed till bar close, so in Pennsylvania, bars close at 2 in the morning, so we didn't get out of there till probably like 2:15, get back to his place, which was like about 20-some minute drive or whatever, so 3 in the morning. So it's in the middle of the night now, and you know that there's not much on television in the middle of the night, especially back in the 90s. Compared to, you know, now in the mid-aughts. So anyways, you know, it's my turn. Unfortunately, I made the mistake of turning my head and looking to the TV. And there, in all his glittery glory, is Richard Simmons.
And then you came in.
And he is doing like some wet into the oldies routine or whatever. The sound was on very low. And I was done. I couldn't. That was the And
so sometimes it's the sights during sex.
Oh my god.
I couldn't. I was like, and I will never forget that moment because there was a part of me that's like, really? Like it just killed everything. I just couldn't. Yeah, I was like, yep, crash landing. Like that was totally the end of that. And it was the funniest thing because there was no coming back from that. I don't know, it burned into my memory and it was just not going to change.
You could never look at Richard the same again.
Well, yeah, he hasn't like destroyed my life. It's not like every time I look at him, you know, and I, you know, relive the moment per se, but I just would never forget that. So I think it's funny, Hadrian, it's like there does not need to be a TV on in the background for whatever reason.
I will admit, I hate that.
Go ahead.
No, I hate that in like X2 videos and whatnot. Radios, TVs, because to me, those X2 videos are like here, like right in your, like usually they're like this close, are there, you know, they're set in a corner somewhere, so you just sort of get everything. If there's, I want to focus on what's going on in the bed or with the person, if they're jerking themselves off, whatnot, I want to hear that. I don't want to hear, like you said, ABC News or, there's one video that I was able to watch because it was just enough. I was, the sexiness of the couple in doing their deeds overrode the low audible, apparently he was at like a conference or something and he had to like listen in to what's going on the floor. So he had that playing in the background. So you're hearing these random like people talking, like a radio, like a walkie talkie kind of thing. And you're hearing that. And then, but at the same time, you have these two people going at it, and you're like going, yeah, it's, and it would just be just enough to distract just a second. And I'm like going, oh, what? Oh, okay, never mind. Let me just look at what's going on here. And yeah.
What were you going to say, Hadrian?
I had a situation where I was blowing the guy, and I think it was still in high school, and it was a guy I hooked up with on AOL, and I went to his place, and he was in the Army, and I went out to where he lived. On base, and for bedding, and I saw him through the window. All he did was he get up, I knocked, he came, got to the window, closed the shades, opened the door, just didn't even say hello, he just kind of waved me in, closed the door, and went and sat back down on the couch exactly where he was when he started, and he just kind of opened his pants, and I'm like, okay, let's do this, he's hot, I'm going to go through with this, and I went down and I started doing my duty to my country, and he had Jeopardy playing. And I'm like bored already. I mean, I was like 18, and I'm like, okay, I'm bored now. So I just kind of went down on him and started doing it. I'm like, immediately started. He had a nice stick, and he had a huge balls, I remember. And I'm doing the business, and I would stop every now and then because I was bored. And I was trying to signal to him, hey, you need to do something to be a little more active. But of course, being 18, I had to be a smartass about it. And I'd go, what is Amsterdam? I'm like started answering Jeopardy questions, and he finally called it, and he like muted the TV and he stood up and said, let's go to the bedroom, and then he was a little more active there, but he thought this was going to be a blow and go, and I'm like, no bitch.
Oh my god,
I'm not going to be blowing the guy to let him know you're boring, even though I'm sucking your dick, you're boring.
That takes it to a whole new level, Hadrian. I have never heard of someone interacting with something in the background while having sex like that. That's funny as hell. That's too much.
So does anyone else have any other sounds that they particularly enjoy during sex? I know that's where we were.
Like you were saying, Damon, you know, there are certain things that are kind of like trip triggers, like the skin-on-skin contact sound. I have figured out, I know this about this, and I don't really say anything to people that I'm with. I have trigger points on my body. mm-hmm. like most of us do. But one of them is near my ears. And so if they get near that area and they breathe, make noises or whatever, that kind of like, I don't know how to explain it. It's like it powers up or adds in a whole nother level.
Yeah.
So you get hornier and friskier?
Yeah, in a way. It's just, yeah. I don't know how else to explain it. It's one of those things I'm kind of like, you know, it's one thing and then you're kind of like,
it turns you up to 11.
Yeah. My ears are one of my erogenous zones to a point. They're really, like, there are certain things you can do, like, near them and to them that work, but only for, like, a few seconds. Like, they are so sensitive. Then, like, it's like, okay, you need to, it riles me up too much. It goes 0 to 10 to 30. And it's like, no, you need to go back here, come down, move. But, depending on the voice, if you do something and then you say something, like sexy or whatnot, into the ear, yeah, you might have me there. There are a few things that will melt me, and that's one of them. And Jim sort of knows that. And
yeah. Takes full advantage.
Yeah. Well, good for Jim. I mean, he's your partner. He should know that kind of shit. I mean, if I had a partner and I knew what their trigger points were, when I wanted it, I would play that card, whether he knew a game was about to be played or not.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, I don't know if this is a commonality amongst those in the bear community. My presumption is when it comes to a person's voice, a low, husky tone, some level of bass, a guttural kind of sound would universally be a turn-on for folks.
Mm-hmm. So a voice like this saying, "Suck my dick, boy!"
isn't going to turn you on?
No. No.
Well, oh, I think some people it might work for it.
So, all right. So I have to tell another story.
Scary stories.
So wait, no. Oh, well,
you tell.
So many, many years ago. Okay, gravy. Close to 20 years ago, I was at a bar here in town, and there is this guy who's at the bar. And he's dressed very much like, you know, cowboy style. Tighter jeans, Stetson hat, denim shirt, you know, cowboy boots, or maybe he might have been wearing, like, you know, shit kicker boots. And I kind of noticed him, but he's not completely my type, but, you know, he draws the eye. And I'm standing with a couple people, and they're like, you know, they go over to talk to someone that's standing next to this person. So, you know, our little group of two or three people can travel over there, and we're talking. And this guy that I'm talking to that I know turns and says, "Oh, let me introduce you to my friend. This is Bo." You know, kind of like, I don't know if it's like Bo and Luke Duke or whatever, but that's how he says is his name is Bo. And so this guy's like, you know, the epitome of masculinity. You know, he's, you know, got a nice physique, you know, this gorgeous, thick, very dark, like midnight black goatee. Mm-hmm. Piercing blue eyes, you know, I mean, he's just like the epitome, right? And he says, you know, "This is my friend." Actually, that's what he said was, "This is my friend." And this guy that I'm describing extends his hand, and this is what happens. "Hi, my name's Bo."
Basically, first falls out.
And instantly, it shatters.
The whole image.
Any thoughts I had obliterated.
Aww. You were the most gorgeous man in the world. Then you spoke.
Yes.
I felt so awful in that moment for being so judgmental. because I was just like, no. Like, this is no. Like, if there was a chance, there is a nothing now. Like, I just, I couldn't. Could not.
I understand that one. And I it's the image. It's the whole, like, mental, like, picture that you have in your head. And you see that and you go, oh, that's got to be, you know, whatnot. And then it's the exact opposite. You're kind of like, oh. And it's not so much the voice per se, but it's just that it sort of, like you said, it shattered that image. It broke the image. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a couple of film models that I've seen pictures of or gift sets or videos where they don't really talk. So there's this presumption about what they sound like. And then you see them like in a confessional, one-on-one to camera, in an outtake, in a blooper reel, or they create a YouTube channel, and they go online, and then they speak to the camera, and you're like, oh, okay, that's not what I was thinking. And Hadrian, this is not about you. Like, you actually have a good voice that goes with your body. Like, it's a good package altogether.
Importantly, they do manipulate voices. They do play with them. Like at Corbin Fisher, we would raise someone's voices so they sounded like they were like 18 or so, so that it was a little bit more enticing for the pedophile clientele. But borderline client, pedophile clientele, the almost 18. But then I've heard that, and I've seen this, where they will lower someone's voice so that they sound a little more gravelly, or increase the bass on it a little bit, give a little more kick. So I've seen that as well. And I'm running into people in person, like, then they're just like, no, that's not the voice I heard. You're kind of a little more falsetto-y. And just to know, just to give the benefit of some people who have mental things, like there was a guy I knew in Atlanta. He was this big hunking wall of a man, and he was this big old chub, and he was fucking hot, and I really wanted to sleep with him. And then he'd talk, and he talked in falsetto all the time. He had like this Mickey Mouse kind of voice that he had going on. And I had a hard time connecting with him over it. And we became friends over the years, and I did finally play with him. But when we got in the bedroom, shut up, cat. And when we got into the bedroom, and it was just nice and quiet, he could put a whisper, and he couldn't whisper in falsetto. Go away. Sorry, my cat's being a needy bitch. But he couldn't whisper in falsetto, and I heard it. Yeah. It was like this deep, rich voice, and I'm like, what is wrong? And I finally, in the afterglow of sex, we're talking, I'm like, okay, what's with the deal with your voice? What's going on here? And he apparently said he had a really hard time in adolescence. He was the youngest of like six brothers or something, and his parents let him get away with more as long as he seemed young and the youngest and kept acting like it. So he would raise his voice as a self-conscious thing to not only manipulate his parents, but also because he didn't want to grow up and be an asshole like his brothers, is kind of the way he put it. But that was his voice thing, and that's how he handled it. But I was so happy that in the bedroom when we're, you know, I'm sucking on him and I'm getting ready to fuck him, and he had this deep voice, and I'm like, yes!
Yes, Daddy!
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Well, it's good to know, Hadrian, that there's hope out there that a person may not be quite what they initially present, you could be pleasantly surprised and be like, oh, all right.
Yeah. I mean, I sound a little uptight if people meet me out in public, but then I get in the bedroom, I'm like, yeah, you want it, boy? You want daddy's dick in your ass? Yeah.
Stop it. Stop it now.
See, I think that's interesting because it's funny to me because there's been a couple of people that I've witnessed or whatever, you know, in person or seen them like on a YouTube, you know, video or whatever. And I'm kind of like, we have dispelled the mythology I've built in my head as to who you are because I've seen you in videos or in clips or segments or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, and I have this idea of who I think you are. And then when you're authentically yourself, I'm like, oh, no. Like, and now it's very much disturbing and confusing because there's a part of me that's like, but trying to put the two of them together, and I'm like, well, I guess that's the end of that.
And I've had lots that happened where I had a play buddy, and we got back to his place, and I got him in the sling, and he had this deep voice, and he was fucking hot and manly and daddy, and I started sticking my dick in him. And the way he had his sling, the bottom end where the butt goes, was higher, so his weight was kind of pushed down on him, and he liked that. And I start fucking him, and I'm, you know, doing the deal, and he's there, and as I'm fucking him, he's like, yeah, fuck daddy's ass, fuck daddy, and then it's, he started doing this squeak, and I'm like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I was like, you have to stop. And it got obnoxious, he went on, he was squeaking like a rabbit fucking. I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm imagining this is what rabbits sound like. I don't actually know.
Oh my god. Yeah, there. Yeah, and that sort of.
Yeah.
One of the things, like, I'm okay with certain, like, sounds and certain points, but that, sometimes it does get to a certain point where it's like, I need you to shut up.
And I thought this is a problem with older generations, because their lack of exposure to media and the internet and YouTube, because this guy was in his, like, 60s when I fucked him. And I'm wondering if there's some disconnect there that older folks with less exposure to the realm that is the internet, and not knowing what can be perceived as sexy, they've invented their own form of sexy, and it didn't quite work out, but nobody's ever corrected them, so why change now? He's 60. As where younger people tend to homogenize around what they believe is sexy. Does that make sense?
Well, I Hadrian, what I think is, I don't know if this is exactly what you're getting at, but I do think generationally, if you look at the environment that a person came up in as a generation, men who came out or discovered their sexuality, that they liked men, whether they be bisexual or gay, from like the 30s through the 70s, definitively handled themselves differently, I think, when it came to sex. I think that sometimes they internalized the only thing that they knew or had been been a witness to through society was that you should be passive and womanly.
Yeah, there was a gender role involved.
Yeah, and so I'm not saying that they turn into women, but that like they just kind of, you know, it's something about them. And I think that since the 80s forward, especially with the internet, that yes, definitively, there is so much exposure now that I think people can be themselves, and we might have, I'm being very careful here, I think we might have moved beyond the time where I know some of us would get very annoyed that people would repeat what they see in film because they think that's what they're supposed to do.
That's absolutely, I definitely agree with that. I definitely think there's a push to where younger people are, they're now eating what's shown to them in porn and accepting that this is the normal thing instead of someone who was on the barrier between no knowledge at all of the 70s and all of this knowledge in the 80s and 90s with the access to the internet, that there's no longer a mix of, okay, this works, this doesn't, it personify this, and there's gender roles and there's non-gender, and we're allowed to break these roles, but these should probably stick. And then there's these new kids that are coming in, they're like, okay, the rules have already been written, follow them, and therefore there's nothing new being invented. Does that make sense?
So do you think then, to me it sounds like we might be seeing it differently. Do you think then that people see things in film and that's what they think is the only thing that is the way you should behave or the way you should sound?
Absolutely, yeah, I definitely agree with that. But there are definitely a lot of younger ones, especially those who have only known the internet, that what's on their Tumblr feed is the way it's done. Mm. There's some outliers to that. I hate to call it out as a positive some all the time. But the furry community is breaking barriers. There's some other communities that are up and coming that are breaking barriers too. But, I mean, we're kind of reaching, you know, peak sexualization in that it's all been done in some aspects. But that gives rise to some more extremes and that kind of stuff. I mean, what was that thing a few years ago? Men that were into watching women crush meat with their feet? And I saw one of these videos. I was like, what is this? And I went and looked on, I downloaded a few videos, and it was complete silence, and it was a woman grunting and crushing her feet, and you could hear the meat like around her feet, and there was the sounds, and there was the sound of the wrapper being torn. It was all about sounds, It was all about watching this woman crush meat with her feet, and I never understood the sexuality of it, but there were websites making millions of dollars off this bullshit.
Hmm.
Well, I would clarify, it must not be bullshit if people were willing to pay for it.
This is true.
I mean, I coming from my background and with, you know, my job, I tell people, I'm like, if there's value in it, someone will pay for it.
Yeah.
So other people may not understand why having someone's used clothing is such a turn on, but it makes money, you know. People, yeah. If Hadrian decided that he was willing, you know, to wear jocks and sell them online, people would be willing to pay for that. You know, other people would be like, I just don't understand it. What's so funny?
It gave my thoughtful face, like, that's a revenue interest.
You seriously haven't considered that, Hadrian? Seriously?
I've actually never considered that. I've been in a little bit of underwear, and actually I did have a guy this last week offer me money for me to send him underwear, and I thought he was just dirty talking. I'm like, hey, little brother, you want to send me your dirty underwear? And I'm like, yeah, sure. He's like, can you make them underoos? I'm like, sure. And then he's like, well, how much? What's your PayPal account? I'll send you money. I'm like, whoa, 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 we just crossed the line.
Wow. Huh. Well, there you go.
But yeah, I think that even with what people say when they dirty talk now, even especially younger people, granted they're young, they haven't hit that late 20s phase where they have to grow up at some point, but they tend to just repeat what they've heard in porn too. You know, there's the classic, which I hate. There's some terms that will turn me off. I don't care what kind of dirty talking you're trying to get into. If you say shoot that load, we might be done. I think that is like the most classic brainwashed porn term ever. And I do believe a lot of people are brainwashed by porn, that they are just repeating what they saw and what they heard in porn. Shoot that load, fuck yeah. That kind of stuff just gets really old. I had a Bear Films one time, and I decided, let me see what's going on. So I loaded it up in VLC player, and I put it on 4x, which means it plays at 4x the speed it normally would. So, and if you listened, it was, fuck yeah, fuck yeah, fuck yeah. And I'm like, this is a bad techno song. Seriously, fuck yeah, And every now and then it was like, you like that, boy? Yeah, I'm like, God, this is so boring. And I remember going into porn myself, especially when I did Bear Voyage 2. When I went in there and I did that scene with Venice Cub on the balcony and everything, and he and I fucking, the director had to tell me, because I won't say things that are stupid. I won't say things that don't fit the scene or I'm not feeling. And I don't want to say, shoot that load. I don't want to say that. I don't want to say, fuck yeah. And he would say, you need to be more verbal. He would tell me, one of the most verbal people out there, to tell me, to be more verbal. I'm like, I know this guy. I've been fucking him for the last 3 days on this boat. I've kind of run out of things to say. I can't say the really dirty, perverted things like, yeah, you like fucking your boy's hole. I can't say that. But yeah, I do.
Wait. Why couldn't you say that?
Because I didn't want to say boy. I wanted to say son. And that's about it. I want to get rid of kind of the perverted incest dirty talk I get into because I'm a nasty motherfucker. But getting back to the young kids tend to just repeat things they've seen on porn, and I've definitely heard it. I've tried to hook up with like a 22-year-old, and I hear this line, the line of bullshit of, you know, fuck yeah, and take it, and I hate this so much. And I know it's like a keyword that a lot of people get turned on by. You want me to breed your hole. And just that word, breed, it's so overused and worn out and dirty, and it's so tacky to say anyway. Can't we come up with some more classy way of saying, hey, let's engage in risky bareback sex?
How about seed?
No, that's overused too. I don't know what else.
But there's plenty of deposits.
I've dirty talked that way too, and every now and then it works. But for the most part, it seems like everybody's go-to. I get on Growler sometimes, and it's like it's a key. If you can search for that term, it's overused. If you can go on Growler and search, or Bear411, or whatever old ass program you're using nowadays, if you can search by that term, the term is wrong.
You've heard it, people. Hits from Hadrian. If you can search Termit on Growler, it's not good.
It's wrong.
That's too funny. Your comment about the shoot that load, it reminds me of I used to work at a gay campground resort. It was clothing optional. And there was a gentleman who sort of became very infamous. There was a public play space where everybody would go to hook up at night, well, 24/7 technically, but very active after the sun went down. And I'll never forget, there was this one guy that went in there, and what was so infamous is he was in there maybe two or three times in the years that I worked there, but one night in particular, he had a script, and he was a broken record, and it was so annoying because he was pretty decently endowed, and so anytime anyone went near him and decided to go down on him, all you would hear from him is the script. And everybody could hear it in the space because he wasn't being quiet about it. He wasn't being loud. You know, he was just verbalizing. So all you would hear in the darkness is, yeah, you like that? Suck that dick. And then about 3 seconds later, yeah, you like that? Suck that dick. And that's all you kept hearing over and over and over, like for minutes, non-stop, turning into a half an hour. I mean, like, it, you know, at a certain point, people would just, like, they would crack up. Like, they just had to leave. Like, they just couldn't handle listening to this guy. Because he wouldn't get off. Like, you know, someone would, you know, blow him, and then, you know, after like 5-7 minutes, they'd get bored or whatever, and then they'd leave, and then another person would come along, and the whole thing would start all over again. And everybody was
rewind.
Like,
rewind.
Yeah.
Rewind. Replay. And something else that's sexy to me is subtlety. Like, if I'm standing across from a guy, let's say a glory hole booth, and we're beating off together, and we rub our dicks together, something like that, and then he, like, takes his hand and puts it on my shoulder and, like, nudges me and just goes, oh, like, oh, like, me, Tarzan, you suck cock. And the thing that grunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going for this. He doesn't have to say, suck my cock. He doesn't have to say, you want that dick, boy. He doesn't have to do any of that. Just, That's awesome. That's the best dirty talking in the fucking world right there. Subtlety. Yeah. You know, all kinds of stuff. Even like if I'm rubbing my dick on someone's hole and I look him in the eye. We haven't discussed anal sex, but there's a, you know, we're in a situation where this can happen. And let's just say I'm not wearing a condom or something stupid. Like stupid, very, very stupid people. Young kids, watch out. But you know, watch out for people like me that do this bullshit. I'm rubbing my bare dick on your hole. I got some pre-cum going. There's a little bit of spit. I'm just like, I'm just gonna rub it. And then you look me in the eye and you're like, uh-huh. Guess where my dick is going? If you said yes and you didn't say no, that's the rule. You gotta say yes. You can't just assume. Pecker's going in you. I mean, it happens. It's a thing. So sometimes less is more when it comes to dirty talking, where you're given permission,
agree with that.
Yeah.
Totally agree with that. I like that, just those little sounds that are like affirmatives. Like, yeah. you want me to suck your dick? And you just go, mm-hmm, yep, boom. Or just a gesture and then follow up with the sound.
Yeah.
Just enough to just say, yep, this is where we're going. This is the road that we're going down, and we're both going to enjoy it.
Yep. And even incomplete sentences, like, just, I like this one, like, something that'll turn me on. Like, if I'm beating my dick and I'm sucking someone's dick, and they go, oh, boy. I'm done. I'm going to squirt all over your feet, and I'll just finish you off in a minute.
Yes. Yeah.
You don't have to have a complete sentence in there. You can just insert a random pronoun and random verb as long as they fit the situation. Good.
So you think that the, probably the most sexy is the least vocal, at least words.
Less is more.
So it's more like moans and maybe the a word here. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Just enough
to get the point across.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's a way of saying all of my brain's focus is on what you are doing to me and what I'm doing to you. I have just enough brain space to communicate a little bit, and that's a turn.
Yeah. Yes. So much. It doesn't need to get too loud. It doesn't need to get too crazy. It doesn't, definitely doesn't need to get too verbal and talky. Just, you're fucking enjoying me fucking you, and I'm fucking enjoying fucking you. There we go.
So, I don't know if there's much else left that we want to say about the sounds of sex. Anybody else have any other final thoughts?
I do have one thought. We've mentioned it briefly. Talking when our sounds made when actually ejaculating, especially in the throes of with other people. Like the as we were saying, the porn like obvious like one of I'm coming kind of thing, yeah, overdone. And I've actually had people say that to me. I appreciate the warning, but sometimes I don't need to know you're coming. I will probably see it. Depending on where I am, I might taste it. I might be holding your dick in my hand and feel it. So I don't need you to exclaim that you're coming.
Look, I disagree with that. I actually think that part is, you know, because there's a couple things that you can do at this point in time when somebody tells you that they're coming. They're about to come. But do you want them to?
Oh.
The warning could be like, oh, so I'm going to get off your dick. I'm going to touch it. I'm going to make sure you're not touching it. And you're going to be like, ah! They're going to be like, ah, no, no! They're going to calm down a bit. You're going to get them back up. You know, you start edging them. I also think it's hot because it means I can prepare myself in one way, shape, or form. What do I want to do when you come here? Well, okay, so, all right, I'm bored, so I'm just going to jack you off. Or, okay, I've been working at this for a while. I'm waiting for you to come. You tell me you're coming. I'm going to work a little bit harder to finish you off because, god damn it, it's time to get this over and done with. So, yeah. So based off of them letting you know when they're going to do it, don't get me wrong, I'm happy with a nice surprise too. Don't get me wrong. Okay? And there's probably some other indicators besides them telling you that they're coming. But there's things that you can do of how you react whenever they tell you they're coming. Now, the way they're going to be telling you the coming can be more interesting than I'm coming. Like, oh, yeah, here comes more. Yeah.
Okay.
This episode has a new subtitle, When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, boy.
Or When Harry Met Sal. Excuse me.
So, I agree with both of you. I think there's a time and a place. I don't necessarily need to be told because I'm highly paying attention usually and aware of what's happening. It's not to say I can't be surprised because that has happened. Because you're kind of like, whoa, okay, that was from out of nowhere, but you're done. Got it. And then there are other times where, you know, you kind of want to know. The thing that I think can be fun is the person, you know, lets you know. And by that I mean, you know, it's not, you know, heralding that the king has arrived with trumpets and shit. You know, but they make a comment, you know, of some sort, you know, like, you know, I'm getting close or whatever. What I think can be fun, if they're okay with it, is then you can kind of banter, like in a sexy way, you know. So if, you know, Hadrian's like, you're like, you know, get ready, and I'm kind of like, yeah, you ready? You want to? Like, you just kind of egg them on into that. I know some guys really they respond to that. They, you know, I'm not saying it's like, you know, they're running a marathon and you're at the end of the, you know, the 5K, and you're like, yeah, Maybe, I don't know. I never really thought about that before.
Good for you. Good for you.
Keep going. Keep going. Cross the finish line. Go for it.
Okay, no.
Damon says no. That doesn't work for him.
I try to be mindful of the situation a little bit. If I'm playing around with someone in public or someone I don't know that well, and I don't know if they want me to come in their mouth or if they're okay with it, because I don't know what it is about Florida. I know quite a few people here that are like, come in your mouth, it's gross. I'm like, you're weird. I try to warn people. Like, if they're sucking me off or I'm fucking them, I'll tell them. Hey, I'll just say, getting close. You know, it's kind of let them know, hey, you know, we're getting there. And that's it. You've got about 20 seconds or so to figure out what you want to do. If you had some grand finale you want to do, now's the time.
Yeah.
at the same time, I'll do other stuff. Like, if I'm fucking someone, you know, in a way I'm not supposed to be fucking them, like, without a condom or something, I'll ask them, like, where do you want it? Kind of thing. Or if they're sucking me off, I'm like, where do you want it? Sometimes I'll do that, which means, you know, what you're doing now is good if you want to keep doing that. You know, to kind of let them know, hey, keep going here. And if I'm just in kind of a little bit of a humiliation mood, like, I'm going to do what I want to fucking do, or if I'm just feeling selfish, I'm like, I'm going to be as quiet as possible. They can enjoy this surprise. That sound people make, that's a hot sound, too, that'll make become even harder. When I start squirting in your mouth, and you make that, you know, that alarmed, oh, God, there's cum in my mouth suddenly. Yeah, that'll turn me on. I'm like, oh, I'm coming even harder now because he was alarmed.
Yes.
And it depends on straight guys, too. Like, if I ran into a guy that just looks like he's some cocky motherfucker, like he's got a mullet and there's probably an IROC Z out in the parking lot of this dirty glory hole booth he's sucking me off on, I'll be like, no, I'm humiliating you. I'm going to come in your mouth because you probably don't want it because you think you're straight, but I've talked you into sucking my dick. Get ready for a load, motherfucker. Sometimes I get into that kind of mode, too. And then there's other guys, like I'm like, he's there. There's a minivan out front. There's a freaking kid seat in there. He's somehow gotten away from his family. And he's sucking my dick because he's a nice guy and he really wants to get someone else off. I'll be like, okay. If I come in his mouth, he's probably going to freak out. He's going to cough. It's going to get all over his shirt. He's going to go home and explain to his wife why he has cum on his nice Berber shirt. I'm like, okay, no. We'll warn you.
Oh.
It runs the gamut about, and it depends on the situation, how sexy it can be.
That's so nice of you. You're a giver.
Hadrian's polite.
Yeah, I'm typically polite. I will say that I am a loud comer, and I tend to yell out when I finally reach the big O.
Yeah.
And
I notice.
I'm in a situation where I have to be quiet. I have to internalize it and be quiet and hold my breath and everything, and I'll turn bright red and everything. And I, like, twist up internal organs while I'm squirting and not being able to express it. But I've been in situations where I've come and I've been loud. Like, I had this one guy, I think I was riding his face. I was, like, sitting on his face, he was licking my ass, he was jerking off, and I was jerking off, and he was licking my hole pretty good, and I shot and I squirted over his belly. And I yelled out, and I'm like, oh, God, good cum, blah, 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 yada, yada. So I do that, and I squirt over his belly. And I felt like he was outdone by that.
Oh.
So he felt like he had to have a big cum, too.
I remember that.
So he's down there doing the thing that people do when they're doing that thing. And he starts to come, and he starts yelling out, into my asshole. So he's, like, pushing air, and I'm freaking out. And I'm like, oh, God, because I feel this air coming inside me. And I'm like, and my first thought is, oh, God, he's doing something inside me. I've never really had anybody doing something in that particular age. And I'm thinking, oh, God, can I get, like, a disease from this? Can I get, like, halitosis of the eye? And then my next thought is, oh, God, why is he doing this? Is he, like, is that, I can tell he's acting this out. He's playing it up. Because he's, like, half hard. And it's, like, whoop, whoop, whoop. It's, like, blurring out. It's not even a full cum. So I'm looking around the room, like, is there a hidden camera? Is he recording this? Because I've got this horrified look on my face. I'm like, I hope he's capturing this, because this is awesome. He's going to be embarrassed about this later. I would warn anybody who's watching this, if you're going to make noises, If you're going to make sounds, if you're going to dirty talk, if you're going to deep your voice, if you're going to do anything to kind of enhance and get into being a little bit louder and verbal in sex, don't fake it. It will be so fucking obvious. You know how porn actors look? You know how ridiculous we look saying bullshit like, hey, boy, want to go back to my room and get it up your butt? No, if that sounds ridiculous to you, that's how ridiculous you're going to sound trying to say something insincere when you're trying to dirty talk. If you can't do it,
so true.
Dirty talk to yourself and record yourself. And when you believe yourself, you might be on the right track. And that's all
I'm saying about it. Don't fake it.
Don't fake it. That's an awful thing to do to yourself and your partner. And people will talk about your ass. Next time you go to the bar, they're gonna be like, "Oh, hey, boy, how are you doing?"
Well,
good deal.
Well, I think that's
that. I think we finally found our climax.
Yes, yes, yes. Well. Speaking of climaxes, I'll leave this as the final note. If you want something that I think is hilarious, I made the Cubs watch it last night. I don't think they found it as funny as I did, but you have to. I think maybe you have to be in the right mood. If you're not aware, there's an entertainer by the name of Big Dipper. Mm-hmm. He's a bear rapper, and he did a Kickstarter campaign last year in 2014. And one of the levels of donation was that you got thanked for donating towards his music video, which is currently in editing. So if you go to his YouTube channel and you find Big Dipper thank yous, I think that it says fuck me and the F, it's F and then it's got, you know, the little characters because you can't write fuck. If you watch it, it is him thanking by naming out loud all these people. But if you watch this video, I found it fucking hysterical. He's acting like he's having sex while saying all of their names.
Okay.
To me, it's one of the funniest things I have ever seen is to watch this guy fake having sex, coming close to orgasm repeatedly while saying people's names. And it's not just their given names, it's like their nicknames, whatever they decided to go by that they wanted to be recognized by.
Oh,
and
God.
I die every single time I watch it, and the boys were just like, what the hell is this? And at one point, he does this like really crazy like little like porn thing where he's like, fuck me, fuck me, fuck me. It is so not right. It is so not right. It is the funniest thing I've ever seen. And the reason why I bring it up is, watch it, people, and don't do it. It is the perfect example of how to not make sounds when you're having sex.
What not to do?
It is one of the funniest things. If you guys get a chance to watch it, and the reason it's on my mind is I just made them watch it last night. I was talking to them about it, and they were like, what? And I was like, yeah, he thanked everybody like he was having sex with them, sort of. Like he was saying their names, and it's I don't know. I thought it was fucking genius. He eats donuts during it. It's crazy. You have to watch it. It made me laugh.
Huh. And I think I found it, so. So just in case there you go.
Yeah, so you guys have it in the chat there, the link if you want to watch it. But I think that's it. I think we've done pretty good at talking about the sounds of sex.
I think we've talked sounds of sex to death.
Next time on Let's Talk About Sex, it's sounds. I just think that would be appropriate to go from one to the other. We'll see. I'm not sure. Is that scheduled what we're actually doing next?
No, I don't think it is. But if that person is available, they kind of indicated that they would be willing to talk about that. Hadrian, if you're interested to join us for that, you're more than welcome to, where we talk about sounding rods when it comes to sex.
Okay.
I took that as a Hadrian's like, I might not be available.
The Hadrian reservation at that point.
Well, you can also just look at the Hadrian with us on rimming, which is nice.
I might have some input for that. I mean, I've tried that and I have some interest in it, but I think I might have some good questions for it. So yeah, that's like
there we go. So there we go.
Good.
There's plenty of ways to contact us. Actually, let me put a couple things for it before we go into a lot of our things. There are ways for you to participate with us. One of them actually is just go to cubsoutloud.com. On that page, you'll be able to see our blog, which has all of our podcast postings as well as links to Amazon.com, where you just click through that link and then do your shopping as normal, and it actually helps us out. Check that out. And you don't even pay a dime more. So that's great. If you want to donate, there's a little donate button there. We appreciate that very much. Helps with all the server costs, which happens every so often, and sometimes right before you want it to, but that's beside the point. Also, let us know what you want to hear us talk about. And if you have anything that you want to talk about, you can email us at cubsoutloud.com. Participate within the show. We've got several groups on Facebook, the COL Entourage Facebook group. There's the community over at Google Plus called COL Entourage. And on bearunderground.net, there's the Cubs Out Loud Entourage, because for some reason I decided not to shrink that down to just COL. I don't know why I did that. So there's that as well. So let us know what topics you want us to talk about. If there's any you want to talk about, anything that we've talked about here that you want to talk, let us know about. Comment on the blog, shoot us an email, an MP3 file. I do this every week, actually, for that teaser. I actually use this voice memo app that's on the iPhone. Uh-huh. I'm sure there's other voice memo apps on other phones. And you can just leave a message for Cubs Out Loud, and it records it. And you can set it. So also, don't forget your YouTube page. I keep forgetting to say talk about this is, hey, we're doing a YouTube video. The reason why any of you that are listening to this by audio is getting it is because we take that audio, put it down, add a little stinger in the front, put our theme song in the front and end, and then you get to hear it. But what about all these reactions that we're talking about? See, go to youtube.com/cubsoutloud. We're right there as well. And, of course, if you go to cubsoutloud.com, I have the video embedded right there. For easy access to. You can also subscribe to us on youtube.com/cubsoutloud. Facebook.com/cubsoutloud, Google Plus, or google.com/plus cubsoutloud. Find me anywhere on the internet as box.box, cubby box, whatever.
I'm TheaterCub79 on Bear41, Bear Underground, Tumblr, and HeftyNet.
And I'm GearBear73. Pretty much can be found any place I want to on the net that way.
More people. And I'm Hadrian M on most formats, but I'm kind of taking a little bit of a break. So lately you can find me as Hadrian M on Twitter because I live in 2009.
for 6 months at least.
Yeah, for a little while. It's just a little bit.
But you can find it's still popular. It's still relatively popular, by the way. It's still popular. Yeah. Yeah, So follow me on Twitter. With that, take it, everybody! Good night, everybody!
Bye, bye, y'all!
Bye! Thanks for playing.